Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Just kind of visited me, and I'm so thankful for that. I love it when God clues us in. If we'll spend the time with Him, He'll talk to us. He'll talk to us. If you got your Bibles, Matthew 15 and verse 21, Matthew 15 and 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But He answered and said, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, help me." And He answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I want to preach to you here this morning. How far do you want to go? How far do you want to go? Let's lift our hands again and just entreat the presence of the Lord as we've done already. But you can't ever tell Him how good He is. I think it just makes God smile. Just tell Him, "God, we love You today. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your Spirit that's here. I ask You today, Lord, let Your Word go forth with a clarity and an understanding here today, that someone could get an understanding of how great You are. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You may be seated. We are living in an age where knowledge is the driving force that propels people, motivates people. Again, I'm not going to get too deep into that, but we live in a technological age. Your computers today will be obsolete probably within a few years, maybe even a few months. And you can see it's knowledge that's driving people. I wonder what would ever happen, though, if the church would ever understand that the knowledge that drives the world or the quest for that knowledge, I wonder what would ever happen to people in our assemblies, our churches across this nation, that their drive would be just to know God. Not a knowledge of how to have a better secular advancement, maybe, job-wise. And I'm not against any of that. I think we should do the best that we can. But if there's anything in me that I want to be notable about me in God's eyes, I want Him to know that, God, I'm not looking to be a better, whatever that career position is. I want Him to look at me and say, "I found me a man that was after my heart. I found me a congregation that was after my heart. I found me a people that they were driven to know more about me than everything else around them." I want Him to look at me and you and say, "God, I want Him to look at you and I and say, I found me a person. I found me a part of my creation. That when the chips are down, they don't look to the world for the answer. They look to me for the answer." This story is a picture with many characters on it: the disciples, Jesus, the mother, and a daughter. But really, the whole weight of it rests on that mother. She was out of options. She was out of answers. She had gotten to a place where she didn't know what else to do. She didn't know where else to turn. And even Mark tells us a little bit of an insight that Matthew doesn't say. It says Jesus came to Tyre and Sidon, but Mark says He came to a house and He was hid in the house. Matthew doesn't say that, but Mark gives us a little bit of a clue to how this journey and what this lady was facing. He was in the building, but yet He was not revealed to the people in the house. It's like many of the services that you and I come to on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or a prayer meeting on Monday night. He's hid many times in the building, but it's gonna be up to you and I if we're ever going to get him to reveal himself in the building. I'll never forget Brother Ewan taught this years ago. He said, there are times you come to the church, the house of God, and God is a million miles away, seemingly. And he does that on purpose, that you and I will come hungering for more of him. But then there's other times you come to the house of God and it's like you ain't even got to lift your finger, lift your voice, or lift your hand. The presence of God is so thick. I thank God for those moments that he's here and he's readily available. But then I thank him for those times that he's challenging me to go a little bit further. I need to press a little bit harder. I need to worship a little bit more. I need to lift my hands a little bit more. I need to lift... We come to the house of God with needs all represented. But the question that is posed to us this morning is, how far do you want to go? He's their God, but can he be your God? He's my God, but can he be your God? And the deciding factor is, how far do you want to go? God is unlimited in his power. He's unlimited in his knowledge. He's unlimited in what he can do. God can do the impossible. The question is, how far do you and I want to go to get to that place where we get a revelation of him, that he's now my healer. Now he's my deliverer. Now he's my savior. It's no longer the God of the Pentecostals of the Quincy, but it's my God that walks with me through the valley in the shadow of death. I'm not going to fear evil. There are times that we come and he's hid. He's not readily seen in that moment. I know he's here. See, that's knowledge. Because he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm not present, omniscient, omnipotent God. He fills all time and space, never leaving one. I heard one preacher said he can leave where he is, go where you are, and never left where he was. He can go where you are and never leave where he was. He feels everything. But yet how can he be hid? What causes him to reveal himself in that moment of crisis? What causes God to show up where you are? I've been living for him since, I've been knowing him. I've been around Pentecostal. I've been around church. I've been a Christian forever. Sometimes he's hid and he doesn't reveal himself until he knows how far you want to go. He was hid in the house. And what a sad picture is, he's hid in the house, but yet no one knew he was there except one lady with a need that nobody could fix. And she breaks through to where he is. We're not talking about the woman with the issue of blood that broke through the crowd and flesh. That preaches a good message. But we're dealing with a woman here that didn't have to push through that. It was just wanting to know, how far would this lady, was there anybody in the house that would have accepted the challenge? There were needs in the building, there were needs in the house, but only that one lady got the miracle. I don't know about you, but that makes me sad. Because what if I come to the house and I'm in such dire need and I'm waiting for someone else to bring me to his feet when really he's wanting me to bring somebody else to his feet. And I'm the one. She walks in and breaks through to where he is. And watch what she says. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. She was a Gentile. She was not a well-schooled theologian. She was not a Pharisee, a Sadducee. She was not a religious person. He was in Tyre and Sidon. It was the land of the Gentiles, no Jews. It was Gentiles, people that were not entitled to anything.
That's why God doesn't look at where you are. He doesn't look at who your last name is. He doesn't look at how long you've lived for Him. He's looking at the heart of individuals to see how far you will be willing to go. He ain't looking at your skin color. He ain't looking at your ethnicity. He's not looking at whether you came from Germany or Italy. He's looking at the heart that's willing to push through. The heart that's willing to say, you know what, God? She said, thou son of David. What in the world does a Gentile know about the son of David? For a Jew, that was understandable. Notice at the beginning of this chapter, he went to the Sadducees and Pharisees, and to them, he called them out for their religiosity. He said, you've made traditions of selling of land and giving it, and you have made these traditions that in essence has caused the word of God to be void. One translation says, you've caused the word of God to not work for you. And we've got a group of individuals in this world, people that don't understand God's word is ready to work for you and I, but I've got to be willing to let go of some things. I'm not talking about basic doctrine. I'm not talking about things that God's taught you and I in conviction. I'm saying we got to let go of our old past and things that have bound us and saying, you can't ever have a miracle. You can't ever have a revelation of who God is. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter your past or your pedigree. If you've got a heart that can show God, I'll go as far as I've got to go to find Jesus. I'll do whatever I've got to do to find Jesus. I don't need Him as a picture hanging on a wall. I don't need Him in a storybook. I need a manifestation of His presence. And she tried to use religion to get a miracle. I could do that about my grandpa. Many of you have come, and I thank you for the kind words you've expressed about my grandfather, old pioneer preacher. And when I'm in a desperate strait, I could say, well, you did it for my grandpa. You did it because of what he stood for. And I try to use the banner of some heritage, and I thank God for heritage. Don't misquote or misread anything I'm saying, but it comes to an individual encounter. God wants to know, are you willing to go? Not how far you want, how far do you want to go? And when you and I show Him, hey God, I take the responsibility. I need you more than the breath that's in my body. We love our breath too much, and mints can't fix that. How far? She tried to use religion. Thou son of David. She's a Gentile. What do you know about David? You're not a Jew. You have no right to the lineage of David. So she tries to use the right words, the right terminology. We've learned how to say the right thing at the right time. And we've brought that now into prayer. Well, I'm going to say it like so-and-so says it. And surely God will answer my prayer because I'm praying like the old elder prays. See, there's going to come a point. God heard your prayer, but God's ready to give you a prayer. God's ready to give you a language that you pray in your own way, that God hears your voice. He's heard His voice, but God wants to hear your voice. And He's asking, so how far are you willing to go? Now we can just kind of stay back and just hang out on the fringes and just have good old normal church, shout a little bit, pray a little bit, get drunk in the Spirit a little bit, but we never see transformation. If you and I are ever going to see transformation, we've got to be willing to say, God, I'm not staying where I am. It's been a good run and I've enjoyed where I am, but I'm ready to take a step and go a little bit further. There's revelations that you and I have never seen. There's understanding in God we've never seen. We don't have a bank. Oh, nothing other than the willingness to go. And this little lady comes to Jesus with the words that any professional religious person would have used to try to snowball Him into giving her a miracle. She's at the end of her rope. She's got a daughter that's demon possessed. Now, folks, we got doctors that are doing an incredible job. Thank God for modern medicine, the quest for knowledge. Thank God for MD Anderson. Knowledge. But you need to hear this preacher this morning. I used to say little preacher, but I'm quickly gaining the pounds. If you ain't ever been there, you will be in a place where there ain't no doctor going to bail you out. There ain't no banker going to bail you out. There ain't no preacher going to bail you out. And you'll lay on that bed asking God for a miracle. And you'll hear the voice of this preacher today. How far do you want to go? How far are you willing to let God take you? Accept the challenge of, I want more. I don't want to just have a church with a number. You can get that at the Lions Club, the Masons Club, the Kiwanis. That's a number. Memberships. What do I want? I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. I want to know Him. And God, this woman, whatever it was, there was no doctors to bail her out. She had no options. We've got too many options. If we don't like it here, we'll go here. If I don't like this job, I'll go here. If I don't like this church, I'll go here. If I don't like this organization, I'll go here. I said it. We'll just do whatever we want to do and just go wherever we want and act. I'll change this. I'll do this. When God's trying to say, it's more of a spiritual thing. I put obstacles in your way that you overcome. I put things in your path, not for you to quit and give up and change it, but for you to go into an area of relationship with me that you've never been before. God's got an experience and a transformation moment for DeQuincy that's going to put this assembly in a place that you've only dreamed of God taking you to. And when the religious vernacular didn't work, Jesus was silent and didn't respond. I asked somebody the question today, what do you do when God is silent? When I use what I thought was the right words to try to get Him to show up where I am. And the right words didn't work. See, it wasn't about her words. It was about her worship. It was about her coming to an end and saying, I can't take this no further. I can't do this no more. I've done everything I know to do, folks. I went to McNeese and I got an education. I thank God for my education and my college degree. But my college degree, it's not going to get me out of a spiritual battle. Doesn't matter how much math I know, how much geography I know, how much biology I know. When it comes to just battling in the spirit, there's something. When it comes to addiction, it doesn't matter how much math I know. You better know Jesus, because He's the only one that can bring you out of addiction. When your family's going belly up and your kids are going crazy and you don't know what to do and you're losing hope, you better know, I know how to call on His name. I know how to push through my flesh and get a hold of God, that I can experience a miracle. But we put all the emphasis on knowledge that don't matter when it comes to spiritual arenas. And I think that's many times why we shy away from it. Because we hear the great stories, Chester Hensley and Verbal Bean and Joe Duke and these great pioneers that walked in the Spirit. But yet, I know the price they paid, and we're not willing to pay that price to go to that arena. We're not willing to pay that price. I like a little bit of the world too much. I like a little bit of my comfort zone too much. I like a little bit of things that bring gratification to myself a little bit too much. And God's saying, if you're willing to let go of some things and go into where God wants you to go, there's miracles that you'll see in these altars. Blinded eyes will be open. Deaf ears will be unstopped. Why? That's his promise to the church. He said, when I show up, I do miracles. And this little lady, I'd love to see her response. Thou son of David, I got a daughter grievously vexed. Now watch, you would think, because Jesus is all love and compassion, and what we paint him as some this, you would think Jesus would go, oh, my dear baby, I've been waiting for you, sugar bee. I'm trying to bring some of y'all in. Y'all think about roast again. Come on, we're going to eat lunch in a minute. Oh, my dear love, my dear sweetheart, my dear lovey-lovey, I've been waiting for you to come, baby. He didn't say nothing. Oh, Sister Hennigan, I've been there. Well, I've used every word Brother Cole taught me. I used every word that Brother Ewan taught me. I tried to pray like they taught me to pray, and Jesus don't say nothing. But I'm a good boy, Jesus. I love you. I do. I give. And Jesus didn't say nothing to this. Folks, maybe I didn't paint it clear enough. She's a woman. Back in them days, women had no right, no say-so, no nothing. She was an outcast. And Jesus don't say nothing in compassion to her need. Does that do anything for somebody other than just me? But I thought Jesus was ready to. He is. But he's more interested in how far you want to go than just putting a Band-Aid on your problem. You need to hear me in the Holy Ghost this morning. He didn't say nothing. He said, I'm not here. The disciples came to him after she made the statement, and the disciples said, get rid of her. There's that old religious spirit. Get rid of her. She don't fit our bill. She don't look the part. She's a woman. She has no say-so here. Good old disciples. Thank God for the faithful trying to be sheriffs. Get out of here. And watch what Jesus says. He didn't rebuke the boys, and he didn't answer the lady. He just said, my purpose is greater than you understand. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of Israel. She don't fit my bill, and my purpose is greater than you bunch of sheriffs trying to regulate everything. And the little lady comes back to him and turns and responds to him again in a plea. And he don't say nothing. Quiet. And silent. And then her response again. He finally opens his mouth. Now this is right here where I think I don't know if my faith could have sustained me. He looked at that little lady in the midst of a alone situation. Her kid is demon possessed. No help from anybody, alone. And you would think Jesus would be compassionate. And he looks at that woman and says, I am not giving the bread to a bunch of dogs. He just looked at that mama in the midst of her crisis and said, you're a dog. Would you stay? See, we have adopted this mindset that Jesus is just going to come in and fix everything, and it's going to be a utopia, when he's really more after, will you overcome to get a greater revelation of him? He said, you're a dog. I'm not casting the crumbs that was meant for somebody else. You know what he just said? This is a family-owned and operated business. I'm just to the Jews, and nepotism took over. I'm still trying to help somebody. You think it's our last name that makes something happen. You ain't got to be kin to nobody in the last name. All you need is a heart that says, God, I'll go as far as you want me to go. And you could leave this building today with a miracle. God ain't looking at your last name. He ain't looking at how much money you got in the bank. He ain't looking at how good you've been. He ain't looking at any of that stuff. He'll deal with the sin issue down the road if we can have a heart to just say, God, I need you and I can't make it on my own. Can I make it on my own? Can I get to a place? He said, I'm not giving to my crumbs. And here's the closing remarks. Musicians, y'all come. I'm closing. They tell a story. I don't know if it's true. I ain't never been on the plane, and I don't want to be on the plane. But they say, Brother Hamill, that when the plane gets over Pacific Ocean, it reaches what they call a point of no return. That it ain't got enough fuel in the engine to go back home if they have trouble. It's got just enough to make it to the other side. It can't go back. It reaches a point of no return. I've seen it in churches. I've seen it in people's walk of living for God. You reach a point of no return. If you go back to something God's brought you out of, you'll self-destruct. But if you go forward, regardless of how fearful and anxiety-filled it may be, just move forward and let God do what he wants to do. And this little lady, when Jesus rebuked her and called her a dog, I've used this analogy before. We don't want Paul as a pastor. Can I just be honest with you folks? We don't want Paul as a pastor. Paul said, you a bunch of ignorant people. We don't like that. Paul, you're ignorant. What do you mean? Well, bless God, I'm a man. I put my pants on just like Paul. Who you think you're telling me? I'm ignorant. Come on, y'all. Let's get real and honest. We hide behind the cloak of Christianity and religiosity. But we never want to get real and honest. I've heard it ever since I've been here. I've heard your pastor say, this is going to get real. This is going to get real. God was trying to get this woman to get real. There's only two places in the whole New Testament he ever said anybody had great faith. You want to know where they are? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. The centurion, when he talked about divine order and submission, he said, you got great faith because you're taking what you learn in the secular world and you're bringing it into here. You understand rank and order and you understand submission. And you're bringing it now to a spiritual place. And because you understand submission in the spirit, I can work in your life. And the other one is this little lady right here. See, God knew I had to get out of her great faith that she could see she had all along. And God's trying to show some of you, you've got great faith. But the challenges of life and the struggles of life and the battles of life has caused you and I to look at this and say, I can't do this no more. I can't make it through what I'm going through. I'm trying to tell some marriage here today, you got in a fight on the way to church. Come on, get honest. You disagreed on the way. And God's trying to say, come on, don't throw everything out the window. You got great faith that God's trying to take you to. And watch the response of the little lady when Jesus said, you're a dog. You have no authority. You have no merit to get this miracle. Watch what she said. Truth. True. When you and I just get honest and say, God, I'm letting go of what I protected and just saying, God, I just want to get honest. I've tried to hold this and Stand with me. Jesus turned to her and said, here's your miracle. Here's your miracle. Great faith I have found here, like none other.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.